Dear friends in Christ, once again, the mighty king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, had a dream. Once again, he called in all the wise men of Babylon to tell him what his dream meant. This time, he even told them what his dream was, but the wise men still could not tell him the meaning of his dream. And then came in the man whom he had appointed the chief of the magicians, a man to whom he gave the name Belteshazzar. We know him better as Daniel, one of the young men that Nebuchadnezzar had carried off captive from Jerusalem. Now, Nebuchadnezzar really should have gone to Daniel right away, because he said to him, "I know that the Spirit of the Holy God is in you." Nebuchadnezzar knew this because once before he had had a dream, and Daniel was the only one who could tell him his dream and its meaning. Now, this dream that Nebuchadnezzar had was like this. He saw a huge tree. A tree that had lovely leaves and abundant fruit. Beasts of the earth had found shade under its branches, and the birds of the tree were in the branches. And then, in his dream, Nebuchadnezzar saw a holy one come down from heaven and say these words: "Chop down the tree and cut off its branches, strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the beasts get out from under it and the birds from its branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump and roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze, in the tender grass of the field. Let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let him graze with the beasts on the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from that of a man. Let him be given the heart of a beast, and let seven times pass over it." Even without hearing what God had to say about this dream through Daniel, we can figure out pretty well, can we not, that the mighty tree stands for a mighty man, because at the end of the words of the Holy One, he talks about being changed from the heart of a man to the heart of a beast. And Nebuchadnezzar was also told in his dream what lesson he was to learn from this dream. For the Holy One said, "This decision," namely to chop down the tree, "is by the decree of the watchers and the sentence by the word of the Holy Ones, in order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, gives it to whomever he will, and sets over it the lowest of men." Well, God's Spirit gave Daniel the meaning of this dream, and Daniel was willing to tell the meaning to the king, but first of all, he softened the blow a little bit. He said, "My Lord, may the dream concern those who hate you, and its interpretation concern your enemies." But the dream did not concern Nebuchadnezzar's enemies, it concerned Nebuchadnezzar himself. And then Daniel told it to him plainly, "The tree that you saw, it is you, O king, who have grown and become strong. For your greatness has grown and reaches to the heavens, and your dominion to the end of the earth." But now, what was the meaning of the chopping down of the tree and the change of heart from the heart of a man to the heart of a beast? Well, this was the hard part. But Daniel spoke it out to the king, and he said, "This is the decree of the Most High. They shall drive you from men. Your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make you eat grass like oxen. They shall wet you with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over you, till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses." Well, can there be a greater reversal than this? Than for a mighty king who has this great kingdom to become like a beast and walk around on all fours like an animal and eat grass and stay out in the weather, no matter what kind of weather it is, for seven seasons. Just think what a reversal that is for the great king. But it was going to happen. It was God's decision. And then Daniel gave the king some advice. Break off your sins by being righteous, and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. Perhaps there may be a lengthening of your prosperity. Well, Daniel knew that once before this, there had been a wicked king of Israel named Ahab. And God had threatened Ahab with judgment. But then Ahab humbled himself and walked softly, as the Bible says. And then the judgment was delayed. Maybe that would happen to Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel said, perhaps. Now, dear friends, we don't have to be kings in order to be guilty of the sin of arrogant pride. Pride is the kind of sin that you can easily see in other people, but you can't see in yourself. Perhaps it has happened to one of us, or many of us, that we like to think of ourselves as being maybe the brightest, the sharpest, the cutest, the coolest person in our class, or maybe in the whole school. Or perhaps as teachers, we begin to think that our methods of teaching are far superior to the rest of those on the faculty. But you see, when we become guilty of such pride, it is easy for God to chop us down. It is easy for God to make us grovel in the dirt, in shame and pain. And our only hope is that our Lord Jesus Christ died also for the sin of pride, of which we are all guilty in one way or another. Let us trust in Him for forgiveness. We sing hymn 275, stanzas 3 through 6. 275, stanzas 3 through 6.